Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. You're homeless. You and your husband had a terrible fight, and your marriage is irretrievably broken. You took the car and your two young children and headed west. You don't have a job, and you're living out of your car, eating through your savings. Winter is coming. What now? Nick Zullo has some answers. He's executive director of Family Promise of Greater Helena. Nick, many thanks for joining us on Home Ground.
Absolutely.
Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
Well, it's great to be a Montanan, but I originated from California, and sometimes that's not the right thing to say.
Strike one, but I share the same strike.
What led Southern California.
Yeah.
And went to University of Southern California.
As a Cal Bear, I might say strike two, but
all
I
right.
won't. That's a great school.
Fair enough, yep. And, you know, eventually moved to Salt Lake City, Utah. We raised four little Utahns, my wife and I, and she is from Montana. And so for 20 years, we made 50 trips, I think, to Helena, Montana, to see family and to have our retreat. And so love Montana. To have the opportunity then, now that our kids are raising kids, to be here as residents on January 1, New Year's Day. We arose that morning and said our final goodbyes, and that trip to Montana was coming home. And so exciting.
This year.
This year.
And
okay. So, you know, we're just over 6 months now. Have not regretted a day. We love it. It's been great.
How about education?
Education-wise, at USC...
what did you study?
Studied administrative studies and, dare I say, journalism as a minor. And then went on to Brigham Young University and a master's in public administration. I really felt public service was my orientation and, and dream. To be an administrator that can make a difference. You know, I did my thesis in nonprofit organization, though the focus primarily is in government service, and that's where I served once as a city administrator of a small city. Then a few years later, felt like there's so much of conflict, and how do we develop helping relationships, and really became motivated to seek out and did something interesting, a second master's in counseling. And from that point, spent a lot of my career focused on counseling with families, particularly those serving aging adults, grandparents and aging parents dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. But that really was my focus and work in the nonprofit sector. But to be able to transfer that work and that concept of serving in community service in the nonprofit realm was the key to moving to Montana, and learning about Family Promise was the key.
Public administration and counseling as dual masters are value-driven decisions. In other words, you had to want to do that, to learn those subjects. Why? What in your life led to that interest?
I was influenced by the Old Testament prophet Joseph, and his service was focused really on the community, on the nation, serving the Pharaoh, for example, serving those in power, and being empowered by that.
How interesting. Now,
so,
this came from study in church, obviously.
Yeah, it comes from you know, a faith background. My great mom was not one to attend church, but encouraged her sons to do so. She always said, "Now do as I say, not as I do." She also said, "If you boys are church-going boys, you're going to be good boys." So she was a great influence, and we really believed her, and she had a powerful impact on us.
Which church?
You know, my church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, mm-hmm. which is a church that focuses on serving in community service.
You said you came to Montana at the beginning of the year to work with Family Promise. How did you hear about this organization?
You know, searching through the assistance of the Montana Nonprofit Association, finding out that Family Promise was looking for a new executive director. So that connection was important to me. I wanted to learn more about what is Family Promise all about? What does that mean? That is a fantastic title for an organization. Come to find out, it used to be known as the Interfaith Hospitality Network. So the more I learned about this organization, the more I wanted to be a part of it.
Tell us about the organization. What is its origin? What's its relationship to homelessness?
So Family Promise specifically serves children and families overcoming homelessness. And that is a very specific statement, by the way. I mean, if you are a family with children, that's a key. Secondly, if you are a family motivated to end homelessness, you've experienced an episode of homelessness. This is not something that you want in your life. You want to make a transformation as a family. That then means you are a family overcoming homelessness and seeking to do that. So Family Promise is a national organization in 42 states, 187 affiliates. You know, in Montana, we have 5 affiliates, Great Falls, Missoula, Bozeman, Billings, and Helena, where we happen to be, the greater Helena area. So Family Promise started as a national cause to make a difference in terms of family homelessness.
Started by a person, a committee, a what?
Started by a person. One person makes a difference. Karen Olson, the founder and still president of the national organization back east in New Jersey. You know, very briefly, her story as an advertising executive going to Madison Avenue, seeing homeless folks. This was 25 years ago before homelessness was a word that we really talked about like we do today. And discussing this with her teenage children as a family, wondering how can we make a difference, and then doing something remarkable. On a Saturday, not a work day, going back to the big city and bringing provisions. And then secondly, a very remarkable thing, talking to the families, talking to these individuals and finding out where they're coming from. She began to recognize something beyond what we think stereotypically about homelessness. She began to connect with people. This inspired her. She started this organization. And her first approach, and still the concept and model today, was people of faith. We need to get people of faith, whatever religion, involved, because they have a sense or a responsibility. We can do something together.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Nick Zullo, Executive Director of Family Promise of Greater Helena, about homelessness and what they do about it. Part of that story is quite, the whole story is interesting, but part of it's especially interesting to me, the fact that she started talking with homeless people. My sense is, in our culture, that's not comfortable for most of us. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, you know, I think one reason is because we don't think we have time. I think we feel restraints. You know, it's amazing to me that in a standard affiliate of Family Promise, there are typically 800 or 900 volunteers. These are people of all ages. I've met with young people in their teens, folks in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that are serving. They have time to prepare a meal. Part of being a volunteer in Family Promise is spending time in an evening after a meal connecting with the children, connecting with the families, and the hospitality piece, you know, that's taking time, that's person to person.
That's highly interesting description of part of your program, but I want to make sure I heard something right. You have 180-some affiliates around the country, and you're saying on the average 800 or 900 people volunteer in each affiliate to make the program work?
That's correct.
Tell me, in your experience, or what you've been told by others, who does the recruiting of those volunteers? Because that's a tremendous ratio of volunteers to program. It's quite stunning.
It's the nonprofit concept, number one, the beauty of nonprofit organization in community service, and how this program works, the economy of this volunteerism is through faith-based organizations. And we talked about this, but folks who have a sense of community responsibility, and they get together, and they influence one another within their communities. So we have 800 or 900 volunteers, but there are 2 dozen, 2.5 dozen church communities, and within those communities, there are 40, 50, 60 volunteers who know one another, who feel that they are, in a sense, a family of service. And then they connect with other churches. Doesn't matter what our differing beliefs might be. Our unified belief is that we are blessed and in turn can make a difference in other people's lives.
You may have already won over some volunteers, and there may be people at the end of the show would make a decision if they're interested. How would they get hold of their local affiliate or find out if there is a local affiliate for Family Promise?
You know, and with 187 affiliates nationwide, 5 in Montana, I mean, they're going to be able to do that. The best thing I think to do would be to, like we do, we go on online, we go on the internet, familypromise.org. That's going to get you the national organization that then can get you through to an affiliate in your area.
Okay. As I see it, you have some staff, and I did visit your facility in Helena, and you have what I will call minimal staff, and we'll talk about the facility and what it does. I gave a description at the top of the show, which was a hypothetical. Woman with 2 kids living out of her car. They come to your attention. What happens?
So typically, it's a phone call, Brian, and they obtained our number from some great service organization dealing with hunger, dealing with poverty. Maybe it's the public assistance or Helena Housing, in our particular case, in our community, the Housing Authority. These folks are in tune, you know, with one another. We as agencies really serve one another. And most communities, like we do, have a program for consented referrals, a program to get folks effectively, efficiently to that organization that's going to be most effective for them. And they got that number to call us because that agency heard the story such as the one that you gave at the top of
All
the
right.
hour. And that is a story of a family that is in a crisis situation. This is not a sort of chronic homelessness situation. There was a traumatic experience. This is something that sounds like a Family Promise family.
What is a Family Promise family? That suggests you have some criteria for the kind of folks you work with.
And item one is children. So we're focused on children. Item two, this is a family in crisis. Everything that we think of in terms of homelessness, but here we have a family residing in a car. We may have a family residing on the couch of friends or neighbors. But this is a temporary situation. This is episodic homelessness. These are children we need to get back into school and help them get focused on what they need to be doing. We need to make a difference in this family's life, and that's where Family Promise comes in.
Okay, so let me see if I get this right. There's a whole range of homelessness, chronic, let's say a mentally ill person or alcoholic, just some categories, PTSD, long-term. That's not what you focus on. You focus on crisis and families with children. Any other criteria for you to work? It sounds like you have perhaps a screening process.
Exactly. So at that point, the phone call, the next step, and really the immediate step, this is an emergency situation, although we're not emergency housing. We want to make sure that if there is any emergency support that they can receive, we get them connected with that. And within the next 24 to 48 hours. Let's see if we can get to the point where we know this family is eligible and meets the criteria, which are that this is a family that is not dealing with a substance abuse or domestic violence issues that are unresolved at this time. There may be more issues there and other expertise that we need to bring into play than Family Promise. If this is a family that then, beyond those issues, is prepared in their own statements to us, in the assessment process, which is a very revealing process. The family is sharing with us and we are sharing with them and coming to a conclusion that this family, and again, this is their own conclusion, is ready in the next 2 to 3 months to overcome this situation, meaning that they are ready to be successful in an employment search, in stabilizing their economic situation through employment and resources that they are eligible for in their particular community, and secondly, ready to take on, the responsibility of a home and the obligations involved there, even if it is something that is subsidized. That's going to be something we're going to be seeking for every resource possible to stabilize on a lasting basis the economic and home situation of this family.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Nick Zullo, Executive Director of Family Promise of Greater Helena, about homelessness and what they do about it. Now, what you just described in terms of key criteria for the family to be eligible to work with you guys, that sounds like a formal sit-down meeting where you're talking to each other, clarifying what you do and what you don't do, and what their, I'm going to say, their attitudes are as well as their circumstances. Is that fair?
That's correct.
And is that a pretty formalized process?
You know, it's a formalized process and a very important process to the family. So each adult member of that family needs to be present for that process. We need to meet the whole family. This might be mom and dad. It might be a single mom. It could be any kind of family situation wherein we're a family and we have custody of these children. This is a viable family in whatever size or form that takes. So that process then leads to the commitment that this family wants to make this transformation. You know, coming into Family Promise, a lot of folks say this, it sounds sort of trivial, but they say, you know, it sounds like Family Promise is a hand up, not a hand out. And that really is a good description. That really is, Brian, the way the families see it who come into Family Promise. There is a certain ethic that we see in common among these families, that this is a situation that is not for us. This is a situation that we want to change on behalf of our children. And so there's a motivation there, and that assessment process, which may be a few meetings, it may involve checking with agencies, knowing that we're set to, that this family is going to be appropriate to be living with other families in a day center situation, living and spending the evenings at churches with volunteers so that we are secure as an organization, as a community of families. And then that commitment piece. We are signing a contract. We're making some commitments here. We are developing a plan, willing to do that, and then work with our case manager and Family Promise to achieve that plan.
Okay, you covered a lot of ground. I want to take that piece at a time. And I'll say it back and see if I got it. You have an assessment process that may be more than one meeting where you are sizing each other up. You have certain criteria, which we'll go into in a little more detail. You just mentioned having meals with other people in a particular setting, for example. You have a program. You lay it out. They decide, are they comfortable or not with that program? That's one aspect. You decide, does their family situation fit your criteria? And I'm hearing you say, commitment to change the situation that they find themselves in is central. Fair?
That's accurate, yes.
Okay. Let's talk about what you lay out to them. What is the program? I'm the woman in the car with the kids. What do I need to know about you to decide if I want to be involved with you? I appreciate what you're trying to do, but it might not fit me. Tell me about what I have to be comfortable with to fit into Family Promise.
Here are the challenges in being with Family Promise. The challenge is that you're going to be living in proximity with other families. You're going to be spending the evening at churches with volunteers, and so that means that there's going to be a lot of interaction in your life. This is not like it was yesterday when you were on the couch of a good friend wondering what's going to happen next. This is a program that's going to have some very specific requirements on a daily basis.
Okay, now let's, I'm me, okay, I'm homeless. Are you telling me and my family are going to have dinner with religious people in a church setting? Are we going to be sold a particular religion?
It's a non-denominational program. Your privacy, the confidentiality of your situation is something that is secure. So all of these volunteers are trained and certified as volunteers. That's their motivation to want to do this service, but to do it right. We have positive, high regard for those whom we serve. We often say, you know, as a staff and volunteers, there but for the grace of God go I. We recognize that homelessness can happen to any family. It can happen because of a disaster in a community, and we've seen this. So we have this positive, high regard, but we recognize this is a program that's going to keep us as a family on our toes, and this is what the families want.
Are you talking about Family Promise or my family? I'm
your
role-playing
family.
With you.
We as a homeless family, this is what, so a homeless family is either going to say to us, you know what I think? I think this is a great program you've got, but we're going back to the couch.
Okay.
We're going back to the tent up in the mountains and think about this. Or they say, this is what we need. This is what we want.
I understand you to say, my family, we're going to have dinner in a religious setting, but I'm not going to be pitched to join that church. Is that correct?
Most certainly. So, again, non-denominational. This is there's no requirement in terms of religion whatsoever.
Meaning I don't have to tell you my faith to be qualified.
Exactly. And you won't be inquired of. You know, I mean, you know, our volunteers will not even ask you, Brian, why are you here? How did you become homeless? Tell us about your background.
So, unless I want to talk about it with them.
On the other hand, we're there to listen. Mm-hmm. And all that you want to talk. So we're in the moment. I mean, and that's the hospitality piece and the sensitivity piece.
So you're offering relationships, communication, and I will go so far as to say potential friendship from your volunteers in a supportive environment?
That's correct.
All right. Now, what about my children? My kids are out of school. As I said, we're living in a car. What can you do to help?
You know, one of the things I've noticed is Family Promise is an adventure for children. You know, there's a different dinner meal every night, and sometimes in moving from one church to the next, pizza is served two nights in a row, and the volunteers think, oh my goodness, we've made a big mistake, but the children love it. It's an adventure for the children, and, you know, activities for them are part of the service each evening. In the overnight stay at the churches. Having these houses of worship and people who serve, who happen to be people of faith, really is a key.
All right. Now that's night. Do we know where we're going to have dinner in a community setting? There may be other homeless people there. Is that true or just my family?
That's true.
Okay, other people.
Right.
During the day, where am I? Where are my kids?
So over, by the way, that overnight stay at the church, you're with other families, but you have your own private quarters for the overnight stay. Next morning, you know, very early, 7 o'clock, transportation is provided if needed. or your own transportation, come to the Family Promise Day Center. So there at the center then are all of the provisions of food, all of the daily needs, everything is provided to the family so that you as a family then can focus on saving your funds. And showers, everything. So that's the family's home base, and by the way, the family's physical address. You need that address to go out and begin your employment search. Anything that's missing is facilitated by the case manager to support you in your quest for independence.
Okay, now you and I visited your facility yesterday. I'm going to describe it as a modest but completely adequate home environment. There's living space, couches, chairs, a room with an internet access. Your case manager I met, she's there. My understanding is she works with each family's needs. In my case, with my two kids, she's going to help find child care for my children, correct?
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And during the day, I'm going to use your facility, whether it's phone or internet, to pursue employment leads that your case manager provides. How does that work?
That's right. So those employment leads, getting to training for employment or to improve employment, yes. And so, you know, the Family Promise Center is like any home. There may be no one home all day because every member of the family is busy and has things to accomplish. Parents are responsible for their children in terms of finding that daycare, and we facilitate that. They're responsible for gaining employment. We facilitate that. Getting them involved with housing and pursuing housing options, we support them in that process. So the center is the focal point for the family's number one goal coming into Family Promise, which is to get out of Family Promise and achieve sustainable independence.
In your affiliate, how many families do you deal with a year, and what's your success rate of placing people and achieving the independence that is your primary goal?
You know, Brian, in our affiliate or on a standard basis in an affiliate, we may serve 20 to 30 families in a year and see 80% of those families successfully leave the program. We call it graduation and actually hold a ceremony. Of that, you know, if we were to come back and look at those families a year later, mm-hmm. after graduation, right. and we do, the statistic right now for us and very typically is about 82, 83, 84% of those families continue in lasting independence.
Nick Zullo, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us on Home Ground. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.